good morning. Welcome in to the front porch here on this 23rd day of September. And, of course, we've got Jim Dozer Adams in with us this morning. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning.
I love how you do that.
Yeah.
I tell you what, it makes it interesting anyway, right?
Well, you just never know how it's going to come out.
Never know. But we do welcome you, and we thank you for being with us on the front porch. And, Jim, we have seen some wet stuff.
We have. I looked it up, and it's called rain.
Is that what it's called?
I looked it up.
Wow. So that's what they call it.
Yeah, it was so rare, Google had to Google it.
Google had to Google it, yeah. Well, I tried to say that 10 times.
Yeah.
Google had to Google it. But anyway, yeah, I'm so thankful that we are getting some rain and well-needed rain because it was very, very dry.
Yeah, I noticed we got one of the rains came through. It was fairly heavy for a brief period.
Oh, yeah.
I went out about an hour or so later.
Mm-hmm.
And the grass and the dirt was almost dry again.
Was it really?
But it was a gentle enough rain most of the time that it could, you know, soak in because the ground was so hard, especially.
It's something, you know. Anyway, every time I think about rain, though, I think about the one time I've been years ago going to Florida and how hard it would rain and then just stop. And then, boom, it was hotter than ever.
Yeah, and humid, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, wow, you know, but anyway. Well, Jim, what we got going on today?
Well, it's good news and some bad news, and big news about Charlie Kirk and the service. I'm going to talk a little bit about his wife, who was an amazing lady.
Yes.
And there's some rumors and things circulating, particularly among young people, about that and about the murder on the tram at Charlotte.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we're going to touch a little bit on just what those are, but. I talk a lot from time to time about the parents that find out what's going on in your schools.
Yes.
This is something that's going on in a school down in Florida called Witchy Wednesdays. And we'll just touch on that just a little bit.
Okay.
Hello and welcome. I'm Ken Cummins, and here's today's Word in 60 Seconds. The Bible says in Proverbs 4:20-21, "My son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words and do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart." The story is told of a father of five who came home with a toy. He summoned his children and asked which one would be given the present. Who is the most obedient, never talks back to mom, and does everything he or she is told to do? He inquired. There was silence. And then a chorus of voices. "You play with it, Daddy." In reality, marriage is a 100-100 contract with mutual agreement together. The Lord has shown us clearly that we are to obey Him in all things, and by this we know we're pleasing Him. Is the Lord nudging you today about your relationship with Him? Go ahead. Obey. You won't regret it.
I'm Ken Cummins, and that's today's Word in 60 Seconds. And remember, the world needs King Jesus.
I can be having a bad day or off day and turn the radio station on, and it seems like it just makes my whole day better.
100% listener-funded missionary radio.
Hello there, Andrew Cummins with you here on Missionary Radio. I just wanted to tell you about this year's Carathon. It's happening on October 7th through the 9th. That's a Tuesday, Wednesday, and a Thursday. And it's the What an Awesome God Carathon. That's our theme this year. This summer in particular was pretty difficult. At some points, we fell way short of our budget, even at 75%. So this Carathon is vital for our recovery. We'd like to invite you to give online at any time at missionary.radio. or by calling 877-885-9655 or mailing your gift to Missionary Radio, P.O. Box 1029, Hopkinsville, Kentucky, 42241. But the What an Awesome God Carathon's coming up October 7th through the 9th. In the midst of all this, don't forget, we serve a faithful God. He is worthy, and the world needs King Jesus. Thank you, and God bless you.
I would like to welcome you back to our Front Porch program here on Missionary Radio, your community station. And, of course, Jim, like to mention real quick, I mean, Andrew just mentioned it, but let's don't forget about our Carathon, which is coming up October 7th, 8th, and 9th.
Yeah.
You remember that.
You remember that because if, let me back up just a minute. Decision was made early on in the first few years, a little less than that, really. The radio station And at that time, it was just the, you know, just the one station.
Sure.
That we would not be going to underwriting. We would not be going to, we deliberately chose a non-commercial frequency, which means we can't, we cannot do commercials. It's not permitted.
Yeah.
Because we wanted to be supported by our listeners. This wanted to be a joint effort, so to speak. And that we've kind of stayed with that. So when we say, you know, listener funded, that's exactly what it means. It's the donations from our listening family that keep us on the air.
Sure.
And like the little little filler says, you know, your donation makes these various programs possible. They give you samples of some of these things. And I will say it over and over again and continue to say so, that I believe that, you know, this station, this system has the best overall programming.
Yes.
We got, you know, syndicated programs, and they're good, and we vet them, we watch them carefully. We, you know, the, before we get somebody on there, we, you know, check them out. We get sample programs to listen to.
Yes.
And check it out very, very carefully. So this is prayerfully and carefully done, but it can't be done without your help. We need the donations made by our listening family. You know, it doesn't, we've never had anything that we've had to do here. And I was, you know, manager for 35 years, that we didn't get enough large or small donations to do any of those things that had to be done. It's always a combination. Some can give large donations and do, and we appreciate it. Some can only give small donations and they do, and we appreciate it.
Yes.
Because it takes all of us pulling together.
It does.
To get this thing done.
It does.
So please pray pray about it. You know, the mailing should be in your mailbox by now.
Should be.
And pray about what the Lord can have you do, and then add a couple of bucks.
That's right.
Here and there.
That's right. You know, you consider the price of things nowadays, Jim. You know, well, a canned drink. I'm paying close to almost a dollar if I want a canned drink. Used to, I think, when I first started buying canned drinks, what, maybe 45 cents, maybe for me now. Now it's up close to a dollar.
Well, so just try this thing. You get a gallon of, I say, you got a Cooney's Keurig coffee makers, and you want to use distilled water. Distilled water, a gallon used to be 87 cents. Now it's about, not quite a buck, right around $1.40, I think, now.
Sure, sure.
You for just, water, it's kind of silly paying that much for water, but
yeah,
we do.
Just, you know, but you think, you know, everything goes up every year, and of course, just like operating cost goes up every year, too, because different things changes. Things change, so you need, you know, you need that, you know, extra help, you know, along the way, and of course, if they want to help now, they can go to the website, missionary.radio, go to donate, or they can mail it in to us, Missionary Radio, P.O. Box 1029, Hopkinsville, Kentucky, 42241.
And that will do it.
Thank you.
Okay, I want to get to this thing. I've talked to the parents from time to time, and I say, please find out and keep a track of what's going on in your school. This is in Florida. It's this school district in Florida, and they have been subjecting their students to a Witchy Wednesday indoctrination. Without permission. The Liberty Council sent a letter to them about the thing, but what they do on this is they've got a series that airs during midweek morning announcements produced by students providing, quote, religious instruction, unquote, on spells, magic, moon worship, and other witchcraft rituals. And the Liberty Council saying you can't do that without giving an opt-out. Well, here's the announcement. This is what they are announcing. This is not Missionary Radio announcing this. Let's, you know, clarify that for anybody to join in halfway through it. It starts, good morning, witches and name of school mascot and name of person talking. Today is Wednesday, September 10th, and this is our first episode of Witchy Wednesday. I am here to guide you through your magical midweek journey every Wednesday to start. There was a new moon yesterday on September 9th, normally regarded as a blank slate and a new start. This phase invites introspection and intention setting. Simple things to honor this phase could be to write your intentions and bury them or just meditate on it for an energy reset and healing. There's a full moon coming up on September 18th where the energy is at its highest peak. Creating simple things like moon water and releasing rituals are good ways to cleanse and recharge yourself during this period. In other words, our first ever witch tip spotlight is a spell, or enlightenment that I call Light of Insight. Its purpose is all about inviting clarity, wisdom, and light into your life. You will need a white candle, paper, pen, and incense. You can burn your incense around your area of practice to clear your surrounding energy for a start. You write your intuition down on paper, fold it three times, burn your paper into your white candle. but it completely and entirely to have your intention released to the universe. That itself is your light of insight at work. Then cleanse the space around you once more to finalize your spell. That's all for today. Have a wicked Wednesday. That is on school time, on school. I don't care if it's produced by, you know. Oh,
my goodness.
I'm going to stammer here in a minute. Supreme Court says in a release some time back called Mahmoud versus Taylor, parents have the right to opt their children out of instruction that undermines their religious beliefs. And they say this First Amendment compels the school to provide any student who desires to opt out, do a religious opt-out, to be afforded that option. That means they would have to go somewhere where they didn't have to listen to that mess.
Sure.
But find out what's going on. Talk to your students about what's going on, what's new. And they say, nothing. Then you know, maybe you need to ask around.
Jim, let me ask a question. Jim, when I think about all this, of course, I used to love Halloween. I mean, of course, things have changed since I became a Christian. And as I got children at home myself, and now we've got to a point where now I'm not saying there's nothing wrong going out and getting candy, but we don't celebrate Halloween. Mm. I mean, it's just something we don't do. But as a parent and a Christian parent, we ought to have enough backbone to go to the school system and say, hey, we don't want our children being taught this. Do you agree with that? I mean, shouldn't we have the backbone to go?
It's a legal thing as well.
Yeah.
There was a letter that was sent by the legal folks to the school, and they made some points. And I'm quoting the letter now. The Bible warns of real spiritual beings who seek to destroy lives. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness in this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's Ephesians 6. The Bible states that there shall not be found among you anyone who practices witchcraft, or one who conjures spells, or one who calls up the dead. Those things are great sin. That's Deuteronomy 18. The Bible warns against astrology in Jeremiah and Daniel. The Bible condemns worship of the sun, moon, and stars in Deuteronomy and Kings and Zephaniah and Jeremiah and Job. The Bible instructs the people to inquire of God in Isaiah 8, not of mediums and spirits. That's Deuteronomy 18, Isaiah 44, Jeremiah 20, a bunch of others. God warns that those who practice witchcraft will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's Galatians 5 and Revelations 21. So we're dealing with a spiritual reality, and yet they've got this school down in Florida that's basically teaching the children and indoctrinating them in witchcraft.
Yeah, yeah.
So now, is that going on around here? I doubt it very seriously. But the point being, there's other stuff going on we don't know about.
That's it.
And find out, keep track of what's going on. Talk to your kids nicely to them. Ask about it. Listen to other parents. See what they say. A lot of folks, but that's not real. It is real.
It is
real. It is real.
It is real.
And it's dangerous. So
evil's raging, and in any way that anybody can get to you, they will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They got another interesting thing that's going on, that there's about 150 countries now that are going to, quote, recognize a Palestinian state.
Mm-hmm.
Where? There's never been a Palestinian state. They want keep talking about a two-state solution in the Middle East. Well, there's only one side that would accept a two-state solution. That's Israel. Mm-hmm. And the other side would accept a one-state solution, which involves no Israel and no Jews. It is a very interesting thing, and it's going to be interesting to see what happens with some of these countries. And some of these were countries that at one time in their history expelled all the Jews from their country, and now they're recognizing a Palestinian state.
Mm-hmm.
France is notoriously anti-Semitic. England expelled all the Jews. Spain expelled all the Jews. France just turned them over to the Nazis.
Mm-hmm.
Because I made my comment that a few weeks ago that if they want to have a Palestinian state, where are we going to have it? We'll give it to England because they're pretty much taken over anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they arrested a man I mentioned. He was standing on the sidewalk near an abortion clinic, and the police came up and said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm standing here." He says, "Are you protecting?" "I'm not saying, I'm not talking to people. I'm not saying anything. I'm just standing here." He says, "Are you praying silently in your head?" "Yes, I am." "You're under arrest."
Wow. Because you're praying silently.
Because he was praying, praying against, it was falling into their definition of hate thought. Let's go get a pen from the heart and we'll have a good wow.
All right.
The Lord says in Isaiah 55:11, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it."
God is active in the hearts and lives of our listening family. Thank you, family, for sharing your thoughts with us. Also, thank you for praying, for listening, and giving to 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio.
Here are today's comments from Missionary Radio's Penned from the Heart.
From Clarksville, thank you for being there for people that need King Jesus. This world needs to hear the word and music that you provide. Thank you for praying for salvation for the world. From Hopkinsville, just wanted you to know I appreciate your faithfulness in spreading God's word to so many. May you be richly blessed. Also from Clarksville, I am blessed by Missionary Radio. Many thanks for what you do. God bless.
Thank you for sharing what the Lord is doing through the ministry of 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio in your life.
We'd love to hear from you. Please call our testimony and penned from the heart line at 270-962-4055.
Write to us at P.O. Box 1029, Hopkinsville, Kentucky, 42241.
And online at missionary.radio.
To exalt King Jesus, Missionary Radio.
Jim Dozier Adams in with us this morning.
Yeah, I'm shifting things around here a little bit because I've got to talk about Erica Kirk.
Sure.
And that, I don't know how many of our listeners' family watched part of that memorial service.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, by the way, you noticed no buildings were set on fire, no cars were burned up.
No.
No wrecks.
No.
I just thought I'd throw that out for free. But Erica Kirk got up there, and of course I listened to her speech earlier that she'd done shortly after, you know, and she's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
But she did something, and I've seen several times, and I can't watch it without choking up.
Sure.
It's when she looked up and said, let me just read this thing, all right? This is from an article written by Nate Jackson from Patriot Post. And he's quoting her. He says, "My husband, Charlie, he wanted to save young men just like the one who took his life. On the cross, our Savior said, 'Father, forgive them, for they not know what they do.'" That's the way she said it. She flipped it. That young man, I forgive him.
Mm-hmm.
I forgive him because it was what Christ did, and it's what Charlie would do. The answer to hate is not hate. The answer we know from the gospel is love and always love. Love for our enemies and love for those who persecute us. This guy murdered her husband.
Yeah.
And she just said publicly, tearfully, "I forgive him."
Yes.
I'd have a little trouble with that myself. I'm not there yet. But I know there was a family in Christian County that was. Child was killed by, I believe it was a drunk driver,
mm-hmm.
who had a... You know, and that young man was in prison. They visited him in prison.
Mm-hmm.
They prayed with him. They talked to him. They read the Bible with him. They led him to the Lord. And when he got out of jail and had no place to go, they took him in.
Yeah.
Also, not everybody can do that.
No.
But every now and again, just a reminder. But we have a tendency, do you want to say, "I could never forgive that"?
Yeah.
Well, before you say that, look at Erica Kirk. And before you say that, or even look at her, look at Jesus! What Jesus on the cross?
Mm-hmm.
He's up there, body's beaten and lashed. And
yes.
You go look at the video of Passion of the Christ, Mel Gibson's thing.
Mm-hmm.
Up there, hanging on the thing in horrendous agony, and he forgave.
Mm-hmm.
So when somebody tells you, "I could never forgive that," you say, "No, don't tell me you can." You can tell me, "I will never forgive that. I'm not going to forgive that."
Yeah.
But don't say you can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Is it going to be easy? No.
Absolutely not.
They had a fad I talk about sometimes that went through several, you know, about a decade or so back now. You should say, "I'm sorry, I was wrong, will you forgive me?"
Mm-hmm.
All one word, and that dumps the whole burden on the person that was offended and hurt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, It takes repentance takes a little doing sometimes, and so does forgiveness.
Yes.
You know, I've had occasions, it's been a long time, but I've had occasions when something happened, and I said, Lord, I need to forgive that person, and I don't really want to, so I need you to help me to want to forgive him. And he did.
Yeah.
Now, that person probably may never known, you know, what they did. So
true.
You don't have to make an issue out of it.
Very true.
But to be able to do that through the power of Jesus Christ, and it is a tremendous thing.
Yeah, Jim, it teared me up when she said that, too. I was like, man. I said, now, you're talking about some powerful words.
Mm-hmm.
You know, forgiveness. You know, forgiveness is very powerful, you know, because, like you said, it's hard for us as the human flesh to forgive, but he forgives.
Yeah.
So we have to learn to forgive. And, you know, I mentioned that back when all this happened. Me and my wife was talking, and I said, they was talking about the death penalty and stuff for the young man. Of course, he might get it. I don't know. But, you know, I said, I wonder what Charlie would want.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, you know, forgiveness does not mean
that you still have to pay
you get your consequences.
Yes.
Just to touch in on that, because, President Trump has made the comment that he'd like to see the guy get the death penalty.
Yes.
That statement itself might be grounds for an appeal.
Yeah.
Because it's undue influence on the jury.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you got to be careful, you know, what you say.
Yeah.
But, you know, in connection with that, we've talked off mic about the things you've seen on social media saying, you know, mm-hmm. Charlie Kirk deserved what he got and all of this.
Oh, yes.
There's something else going around in college campuses now. We were talking to a young person we know that's working on a graduate degree right now.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, of course, you know that stabbing in Charlotte was a set-up deal. It wasn't real. Because they've got videos before they show the man and the young woman hugging before she got on the subway. And that's the reason everybody got up and just walked away, because they knew it wasn't real. It was a fake.
Really?
That is what the children in college campuses are being told, mm-hmm. that it was all a fake. And they're saying the same thing about Charlie. They say it was a set-up deal. I'm not sure who the conspirators were supposed to be.
Sure.
I have seen one that said they're already blaming the Israelis and saying they did it.
Really?
But then we've got a fairly large contingent in our country right now, and even more so around the world, that's going to blame everything they can on the Israelites, and they're going to blame it on the Jews, because here we go again with anti-Semitism rising
mm-hmm.
up.
Mm-hmm.
Dearborn, Michigan, they had the county came in and was going to rename a street in Dearborn, which is predominantly Muslim city.
Yeah.
After a newspaper publisher who was a notorious anti-Semite,
mm-hmm.
and one man got up at a city council meeting, and he objected to it.
Yeah. Wow.
And he said, he was told by the mayor, who's Abdullah H. Hamoud, who is a Muslim. I don't care if the mayor is a Muslim. He's still the mayor of the whole town.
Mm-hmm.
But he told him, let me see, I've got this, if I can find the quote here. Let's see. He said, this is what the mayor was saying to the citizen of his town. Although you live here, I want you to know that as mayor, you are not welcome here. And the day you move out of this city will be the day that I launch a parade celebrating the fact that you moved out of this city. That's the mayor.
Mm.
You know, but, we're running into a lot of hazardous type things like that. And we're getting into a degree of divisiveness that is not going to be resolved other than through the actions of the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ.
That's right.
But we've got to be to realize there are real threats.
Yes, they are.
And when a public official tells a citizen of the city who may have lived there longer than the mayor, I don't know.
True.
You're no longer welcome in your town.
Because
I'm the mayor, and I'm going to throw a parade when you leave this town. Well, there's two ways of looking at it. One is to be stubborn. I was here when you came, but elected mayor, and I'll be here when you're gone. Is that
too? Yeah. Uh-huh.
But there's also, is that a sanctioning of danger, of a threat?
Mm-hmm.
Does a man have a business that can be boycotted or damaged or have rocks thrown through the windows?
True.
Does he have children at school that can be harassed? Or
mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot of things like to watch out for. So
yep.
We need to be in regular prayer for our nation.
Yes, we do.
You know, we had the stuff, what could be the start of a revival, not just because Charlie Kirk got shot, but if you saw the thousands and thousands of people filling the stadium
Yes.
And then they had overflow.
Mm-hmm. Had overflow.
And then for the interment, they had folks that they sat up all night out in the in lawn chairs and on the ground just to be there.
Just to be there.
For the funeral.
Yep.
So you have the opportunity in our nation right now not to celebrate a man, but to celebrate the Jesus Christ that man served.
That's right.
And the more people who raised up. For young people, there really is a real God, because in our own strength, a widow is not going to get it just a week after her husband was murdered and say, I forgive the man who did it. Yes. Was it easy for her? No.
Well, no.
It was not easy, but it's what you know you have to do.
Mm-hmm.
And it was important.
Yep.
It was important for her husband's legacy, and it was important to point out that our God is a God of forgiveness.
Yes, he is.
And even if you have the consequences, there is forgiveness. Now, we have an eternity to deal with.
Yes, we do.
And eternity is a very long time. Hell is a very bad place.
It sure is.
And it's time for Johnny.
It is. Johnny Erickson Tata, Sharing Hope.
This is Shauna on Johnny Erickson Tata, Sharing Hope. And today's your chance to sing along with Johnny and this contemporary praise song, I Think You'll Know.
I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted, you were condemned. I'm alive and well, your spirit lives within me, because you died and rose again. Thank you, Jesus. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, should die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true, and it's my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you.
Wow, thanks for singing with me. And don't you love that line? That my King would die for me? Who ever heard of such a thing? But that's what Christ did. He died for you and for me. Many years ago, that thought alone helped transform my view of my wheelchair. Often at night, when visiting hours were over and nurses were on break, when my roommates in our six-bed ward were all asleep, I would picture Jesus coming to visit me. I didn't see him. There were no visions or apparitions. I just used to imagine him walking quietly into my room while my friends were asleep. And I'd picture him gently lowering the guardrail of my hospital bed, then slowly sitting on the edge of the mattress. I pictured him dressed in a rough burlap cloak with a rope belt, sandals. I'd see him lean over and with one hand gently brush my hair away from my face, or maybe dab my wet eyes with the backside of his hand. And then, with his other hand spread wide, I used to imagine him showing me the nail scars in his palm. And with wise eyes, he would say to me, "Oh, Johnny, if I loved you enough to die for you, don't you think I can be trusted, even with this, your paralysis? Can you not trust me?" When I thought about it, it made sense. I mean, really, if someone loves you enough to lay down his life for you, especially when you could care less about him, even while you're still a sinner, then it is reasonable that you could trust him with everything else, absolutely everything, even a lifetime of paralysis. Amazing love, how can it be that my King should die for me? That's why I love this song so much. It's my joy to live a life that's worth the blood of Jesus. A life that reflects what I think about the sacrifice he offered at the cross. So today, may you and I walk in a manner that's worthy of Christ and his death. May we do nothing to stain his good reputation or mar his precious name. May we do nothing that will cast a bad light on him or make him look foolish or not worth trusting. May we never sow seeds of discord among others about his goodness and graciousness. May we instead live godly, and I mean godly, righteous, and sober lives to the glory of his holy name. After all, this is the King who died for you and me.
Missionary Radio family, this is Ken Cummins, General Manager. I need to talk to you heart to heart. If you're on our mailing list, you most likely received my letter about our What an Awesome God Carathon coming October 7th through 9th. But here's the challenge. Because of circumstances beyond our control, that letter arrived later than normal. And right now, we're facing a serious summer shortfall. That's why I'm asking you, would you respond immediately? Don't wait. Go to missionary.radio, click donate, fill out your faith pledge card, and set up your partnership. Or if it's easier, just call us at 877-885-9655. Remember, your community station, Missionary Radio, is 100% listener funded. We exist because of your prayers and your support. Every song, every program, every word of encouragement that goes out over these airwaves is made possible by friends like you. Pray now, respond today, and join us October 7th through 9th as we declare together what an awesome God we serve.
Okay, we are getting into, I'm going to use our James Montgomery Boyce compilation of devotions. And going to Acts chapter 8, talking about repentance.
Oh, Acts chapter
Because
8.
We talked about Erica Kirk forgiving the assassin. But we did get into the issue there are those who say that you don't have to forgive anybody unless they repent and apologize. That's not true. Repentance for the forgiveness of sins is only God can forgive sins.
Mm-hmm.
People can't forgive sins.
Mm-hmm.
People can forgive offenses, or you sin against an individual that is an offense, you can forgive that. The person does not have to repent, does not have to be sorry. They may even be proud of what they did. You can still forgive them, because if you don't forgive them, they own that piece of you.
That's right.
And you forgive them, and that sets you free.
That's right.
And they have to carry around the burden from it eventually.
Mm-hmm.
But we're talking about serious repentance before God for sin. Now, if you read Acts chapter 8, verses 9 through 25.
9 through 25. All right. But there was a certain man called Simon who previously practiced sorcery in the city and had astonished the people of Samaria, claiming that he was someone great, to whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, "This man is the great power of God." And they hated him because he had astonished them with his sorceries for a long time. But when he believed Philip as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. When Simon himself also believed, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip, and was amazing seeing the miracles and signs which were done. Now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who, when they had come down, prayed for them, that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid hands on them and received the Holy Spirit. And when Simon saw that through the laying of the apostles' hands the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, "Give me this power also, that anyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit." But Peter said to him, "Your money perish with you, because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. You have neither part nor portion in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent, therefore, of this your wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity." Then Simon answered and said, "Pray to the Lord for me, that none of the things which you have spoken may come upon me." So when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, they returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans.
Okay, that's the story of Simon called Simon Magus. Moyce writes about this. He says, it is possible, just possible, that Simon was a believer. Nevertheless, this seems rather to be a case of one who had been exposed to strong preaching, was impressed by the miracles, and wanted to tap into the evident blessings of the gospel, but who did not have that genuine change of heart that would have meant that he was born again. We can't apply the story either way. It ends with Peter's words to Simon. Peter tells Simon, "Repent, therefore, of this wickedness of yours, and pray to the Lord that, if possible, the intent of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you are in the gall of bitterness and the bond of iniquity." It's verses 22 through 23. Simon's reply, "Pray for me to the Lord." Now, does that sound pious to your ears? Pray for me to the Lord? That is the sort of thing ministers hear all the time. We talk to somebody about spiritual things, and he or she says, "Well, pray for me, pray for me." I do not want to be misunderstood. It is good to pray for people. If somebody says, "Pray for me," I try to do it. I'll throw another one out, too. What I find in my own, somebody says, "Pray for me," I say, "Let's do it right now."
That's right.
Because otherwise I might forget.
That's right.
But the interesting thing, we get calls here at the station, and somebody would call for, they'd be describing a situation, and I said, "Well, let's pray about it." "Okay, let's," click, and they hang up. I thought, I just said, "Let's pray about this," and they hung up.
Yeah.
Almost,
yeah.
It's very strange.
Mm-hmm.
That's a sidebar. Okay. Anyway, Peter had told Simon to pray. Peter told Simon to pray. He was to repent of his wickedness and pray to God. So when Simon replied by saying, "Pray for me," he was not being pious at all, but rather being disobedient. His words were what we would call in colloquial English a cop-out. He was refusing to do what he had been told he should do and was passing the buck to Peter. Do you do that? Do you pass the buck for your spiritual growth to other people? Do you pass it to your minister? "Lots of people try to pass the buck to me," Jim Boyce says. "They think that somehow I can solve their problems. I cannot. I cannot even solve my own problems, let alone their problems." This is Boyce talking. If you are sinning, you are the one who must repent of the sin. Hello. If you're mm-hmm. sinning, you have to be the one that repents.
Mm-hmm.
If prayer is needed, you are the one who must pray. The Bible says that it is our iniquities that have separated us from God. It is because of our sins that He does not hear us, Isaiah 59. If you have sinned, that's one of those ifs like since. If you have sinned, you must confess it and repent of the sin. Then you can pray. You must come to God like the prodigal, saying, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you." Or like the tax collector in the temple, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." It is hard to pray in that fashion. But if you do it, you will find, as Peter suggested to Simon, that God will forgive your sins and cleanse and restore you and save your soul. Repentance,
mm-hmm.
necessary for the forgiveness of sin. Repentance is not just being sorry. That's remorse.
Mm-hmm.
I remember hearing, "Repentance, that means godly sorrow." No, it does not. Remorse is godly sorrow, or sorrow, but not just godly sorrow, just plain old sorrow. It can be mm-hmm. purely humanistic sorrow as well. Repentance is always unto God. Sin is, we tell the children, anything we say, do, or think that displeases God.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the kind of thing we have to repent from. So what we're saying is, when somebody says, "Pray for me," you know, why they say the same? Because I'm in a situation. Mm-hmm. I've got a friend of mine that's in some financial straits right now. Things are tight right now. And he needs prayer. But if he says just to me, "Pray for me," and he goes on about and doesn't make any changes, I could pray all the good prayers in the world and it wouldn't do a bit of good. But I can pray for him to have wisdom and insight on how to work his way through his difficulties, which he's working on doing.
Yeah.
I had a friend one time, I hadn't seen him for several years, and I saw him and he looked like he'd, you know, they used to say, been, you know, rode hard and put away wet. He looked terrible.
Yeah.
I said, "How you doing?" He says, "Fine." I said, looked at him, I said, "Really?" And he said, "No." Mm. Well, we were in a hall at church one at a time, you know, for, so I just said, "I will pray for you."
Yeah.
And I did. I set up a place that I drove by every year, and every day, and I made that the place where I saw that to remember to pray for so-and-so.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd see him, and I'd say, "I forgot to pray for you yesterday, but I prayed for you twice today, so I'm caught up."
Yeah.
Kind of lighthearted, but to let him know. And eventually mm-hmm. it got to the point that, you know, he could let us know what the issue was that was tearing
sure.
him up so much.
Sure.
And it was pretty
sure.
serious business.
Yeah.
But that was, he did not say, "Pray for me." He just said enough to let me know that he was going through something.
Sure.
I never did find out until he told me later, you know, about
yeah.
a year later
yeah.
what the situation was. So when someone says, "Pray for me," if you can grab them by the throat or the phone or whatever, let's do it right now.
That's right.
Now, you might not be, if you're driving a car, don't close your eyes.
Yeah, don't close your eyes while you're driving.
But you might not be at a place where you can conveniently do that.
That's true.
But you say, as soon as I get someplace quiet, I'm going to pray for you.
Yes.
But if you can do it right then and right there, that's good.
Yeah.
But you need to be aware, if you've got someone that is in a situation of open of sin, and you say, you know, you know what you're doing is a sin, right? He said, pray for me.
Mm.
That means get out of my face sometimes.
Yeah.
You go off somewhere and you pray for me. I'm going to press on what I'm doing until you just go pray for me. I'm not going to pray for myself. You go pray for me. And that's what they're talking about with Simon Magus, that James Montgomery Boyce is talking about, is the tendency to deflect the need for repentance.
Mm-hmm.
But with true repentance, it's not just, you know, saying, well, I'm going to get in trouble if I do any more of this, so I'm not going to do any more to get in trouble.
Yeah.
It's saying, I have offended a mighty God, and I need to stop it.
Yeah.
I need to stop what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
You can't. It's not an issue of cleaning yourself up before you get serious with the Lord. I'm going to clean myself up, and then I'm going to come to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do it.
Mm-mm.
You can clean yourself up enough to fool people.
That's right.
But, you know, God doesn't get fooled easily.
No.
Or at all.
Nope.
And, you know, Jesus can do the cleaning up.
Absolutely.
The Holy Spirit, that's one of the things he does quite well. He's been doing it a very long time. He's quite good at it.
Oh, yes.
And he will guide you. And the Lord will, he will discipline you if you are one of his and you sin. He will discipline you. There's forgiveness, but we need to repent. This young man that shot Charlie Kirk, he needs to repent so God can forgive him.
That's right. That's right.
And hopefully somebody will listen to him and talk to him that can listen to, because all the indications are right now that he had a very deep hatred for Charlie Kirk.
Yeah.
And he took out that way.
Mm-hmm.
So we're in hazardous times.
Yes, we are.
We need to pray very seriously for an outpouring of God's Spirit and mercy and his judgment in our land. Now, having said all that and been kind of gloom and doomish except for the part about Erica Kirk, Lord willing, see you next week.
All right, sounds
God bless.
Good. Thank you, Jim. Thanks for listening to The Front Porch here on Missionary Radio, and join us again next week for The Front Porch, or tomorrow, that is, at 7 a.m. for The Front Porch here on Missionary Radio.